Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, folks. This is Rob Hathaway calling in on Inside Tennessee. I'm sitting in for Dave Vance, who has the night off. And right now I'm calling out on my cell phone. Have a little in-house studio problem. Can't tell you what it is, but I'm just going to start talking to our first guest. His name is Bill Warner. He's been on the phone, and I want to say hello to him. Can you hear me, Bill? Hello, Bill Warner.
Yes, Rob.
Hello, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well.
Very nice. Sorry for the extended delay. We had a little slow start here. Probably
we'll just make it a fine finish.
That's right. It doesn't matter how you start. As long as you finish. Indeed. So we've got an hour, more or less, and we're going to talk to you about your latest, let's call it an outreach or a new program called Voices for the Voiceless, right?
Yes. Yes.
Let me just tell them, I'm sure probably most of the listeners know who you are already. You're the founder of Political Islam.
As many outstanding warrants as I have, most people do.
So you walk into a post office and there's your picture. And
yeah.
Hey, I know him, right?
Right.
Well, I thought I saw you today at the luncheon that Marsha Blackburn hosted for the Women of Distinction, and she had a guest as Michelle Malkin. And, you know, I think I mistook Chuck Blackburn for you. So you look younger. You're looking younger these days. Whatever you're doing, I guess you ought to keep it up.
Well, Bill, you're the enemy.
Tell us a little bit about your background as far as what you've done for awareness post 9/11 for the threat we face from the religion of peace.
Well, I started my study of Islam when I was 30 years old, and I'm now 73. So I've studied Islam for a long time.
Absolutely.
And so much so that on 9/11, my phone rang off the wall with people calling me and saying, what's going on, Bill? Because I'd talked to them before, and they hadn't really been listening until all of a sudden we had their attention. But also had some people call and say, man, you said something was going to happen. How did you know? Well, unlike FBI, CIA, and the other agencies, I read, and then I pay attention to what I read. And I had read and studied Islam for a long time. And I knew Muhammad, and I had read the Quran. And so I knew that when Osama bin Laden made a VCR tape and distributed it, in which he called America to Islam and called us the Great Satan. And I went, whoa, that's bad news, because I knew that Muhammad always called his enemies to Islam before he attacked them. So this is not some sort of genius I am. I just read the playbook. You know, if you know the playbook, it's like, oh, okay, they're going to do this or that. But when I turned off the TV, which was basically the last time I watched TV, I could see that my life ahead was going to be spent explaining to people what Islam was. And because I knew that I lived in a society which did not know a Sikh from a Hindu from a Muslim. And so for long years, as a matter of fact, for 13 years, the first thing I did was 3 years worth of work in which I took the Islamic sacred text, which most people think is the Quran, but that's just one of the three books, and made them all readable. You can buy my simple Quran on politicalislam.com, and a most amazing thing will happen. You will pick it up, you will read it, and you will understand it, unlike the Quran they give you at the mosque. So I was so naive that I thought when I had produced a Quran that anyone could read, that people would run to buy it. And what I discovered, Rob, was indeed they did run, but they ran in the opposite direction. They did not want to know. Now, so after 3 years of making these books together, I then started, I've lectured on Islam to from Denmark to L.A. to Dallas to who knows where. I've talked about Islam in small country churches. I've talked about Islam in huge churches. And what I discovered was this, is that knowledge about Islam is so frightening and so foreign, so profoundly foreign. I mean, people can't understand a religious leader whose God tells him to deceive. And so they believe
right.
what the imam says, and they figure, well, Bill must be wrong because the imam, gosh, he's the sweetest, nicest guy in the world, and friendly, he laughs and everything. And, of course, they haven't read any of the Quran, so they don't know that a Muslim is commanded to never be the actual friend of a kafir, and a kafir is a non-believer, infidel. But he can be friendly, and above all, he can deceive. And indeed, the
right.
Sharia says that he must deceive if the goals are necessary. So anyway, so people would rather hear somebody sweet talk them than, you know, tell them our civilization is coming to an end and we'll be like Turkey in another 100 years. Turkey used to be a Christian nation and now it's all Muslim. Well, only 99.7% Muslim. So anyway, I'm facing a problem. That is, people do not want to hear bad news. And so for 2 years, I have been on Michael Del Giorno's show at 11 o'clock on every Friday, unless I'm out of town.
Yes.
Or he's out of town. And, you know, I've been talking about dead Christians. Matter of fact, on the screen in front of me is a seven-page document, which will be the core of a radio show I'll do tomorrow night. And I prepare one of these every week. And what this is all about is blood and death and suffering primarily of Christians. But Jews and Buddhists
and Hindus. Can I just ask you to let me interrupt you for a minute there?
Sure, go ahead.
You said you're going to do a radio show tomorrow night. Is that what you said? Did I hear you say that correctly?
Yeah.
And so can you give us a few of the details? Where might I be able to tune in?
It is. I'd have to look up the number. It's the strangest thing.
That's okay.
It's done out of Nashville, but it's broadcast in Boston. And
we'll convert
them
one of these
station.
Days.
This is, and so I must confess here, I've never paid a lot of attention to the details because it's happening in Boston.
Okay.
On an
AM
radio
station. Can we find that out on your website?
You know what? Now you're getting to a sore spot with me. You say, can I find it on your website? No. Let me tell you the backstory here. My daughter has finally taken over after 13 years. She says, Dad, you are possibly the worst self-promoter I have ever met. She says, you are not bad. She says, you are pathetic. She says, you travel to Denmark and you never write it up. Nobody knows but you and the Danes. He said.
Some humble pie, isn't it?
But anyway, so she's taken over part of my publicity. For instance, I now have a Facebook page, which is odd since I don't get on Facebook very much. But anyway. So I'm doing the Michael Del Giorno show, and for 2 years I've been putting together these 5 to 8 page summaries of the suffering of people who are kafirs, okay? And
yeah,
finally I'm just like,
right?
I've even asked to myself, why am I doing this? I remember one day yelling into the mic, is anybody out there listening? Am I just talking to Michael? Because nothing is happening.
Yes,
and,
sadly.
And so that began to eat at me. Nothing is happening. So after 13 years of what seems like only a little bit of success and mostly failure, now I've irritated some people as well as educate them. Oh, we need to announce something here. I am one of America's top 10 bigots.
Kelly, congratulations.
According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a source of leftist knowledge worth $250 million, and they've called me out as being one of America's top 10 haters. I was flattered.
Well, that's mild. So that's right up there with the Islamophobe and
all those other choice
names they like to use. At least you got one thing going for you, Bill. The FBI has dropped them off one of their lists as a resource. So, you know.
They were never
maybe we'll get those most wanted pictures.
they were never a resource. Anyway. So, but like I say, after doing this for year after year after year, I began to feel like I was beating my head against the wall. And then I'm a slow learner. But so after 13 years of mistakes, I said, you know what? maybe I'm doing it wrong. And I forget now how the impulse, but the whole thing, to sound kind of mystical here, my whole career in Islam all happened in a few seconds when I saw the second plane hit the second tower. I could just see my life spread out in front of me as to what I'd be doing. And then in similar wise, one night I was thinking, you know, I seem to be the only voice that the suffering Christians have here in Tennessee.
My goodness.
Well, check it out. I mean, I'm not trying to brag here. As a matter of fact, I'm crying.
No, please. Oh, yeah, I know. All right, and we're crying with you.
So, you know, and so finally I said, you know what? I get it, audience. You don't want to hear about Islam other than a few information freaks. And the whole program, Voice for the Voiceless, just sort of took place in a matter of seconds. It was all of a sudden I could see it. Sort of out in front of me. And what I decided to do was, is Christians have a chink in their armor. And the chink in their armor is they're supposed to be compassionate and care for their brothers and sisters.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I'll debate with any Christian on that issue. If you can prove to me as a Christian that you should be silent in the face of Christian suffering, I'll declare you the winner of the debate. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can't debate me. Because I'm going to argue.
I'm sure you're getting some. We're getting some blood pressure up right now. I'm sure some of our listeners, Bill. But listen, that's already quite a story and a testimony and a history review. I would ask you though to allow me to have you hold on for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
We got to take our first break. So
take a break.
We're going to do a little, pay the bills, as they say.
Yeah.
Run a commercial for about 2 minutes, and I'll be back to join you very shortly, okay?
Let's do it.
Thank you, sir. We'll be talking to you in a couple more minutes with Bill Warner from Political Islam, the Center for Political Islam, whose new project is Voices for the Voiceless. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hey, Billy, still there?
I'm with you.
Very nice. Thank you. God, you'd be used to doing the show. Well, it's pretty amazing what we can do with our devices these days. I'm actually doing a radio show using a cell phone, which wasn't planned, by the way, but it works. So I guess that's 2 minutes. Yeah. We're still talking. We're inside Tennessee. This is the radio station on Conservative Talk Radio. Conservative Nation Media, Blog Talk Radio. Bill is from the Center of Political Islam. He's telling us about his history and journey discovering Islam. And he's, don't want to say graduated, but advanced to the point where he's working on another project called Voices for the Voiceless. So please, Bill, if you'd continue from where we left off.
Okay.
About how you got here and what we're doing now.
Anyway, like I say, I finally realized that let's just stop for a moment and step back and take a strategic view.
Certainly.
Right now what happens if you're in the counter-jihad movement is that there's always, the Muslim Brotherhood is always starting another fire somewhere. And so what I found that we were doing is we were always running around responding to another brush fire, and the counter-jihadists were kind of like a volunteer fire department that when they showed up at the fire, they looked around and realized we don't even have a fire truck. So one of the things we need to have is we need more members who are committed to action, and we also have to have a way of being offensive in a war. And let me be clear here. The difference between me and most everyone else is most people find Islam either frightening or queasy or nervous, but headed under the category of being irritated, okay? I don't view Islam as an irritation, nor do I view this as another immigrant group trying to learn how to be Americans. I view this as a civilizational war, and we will either defeat Islam or we will cease to exist as a nation. You go, Bill, you got to be crazy, dude. I mean, yeah, we've got a few Muslims here, but I know them and they're nice people. And what do you mean we're going to survive? Well, because I've studied the 1,400-year history. As a matter of fact, if your readers would like a history lesson that will go by very fast, go to YouTube and type in Why We Are Afraid. I have studied the 1,400-year history of Islam, and it works like this. Islam enters a nation either with a sword or immigration, and measured in a period of time later, that nation becomes Islamic. I give you North Africa,
right.
Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey. So I've seen great nations fall in history because of Islam. As a matter of fact, it's axiomatic. There has never been a nation that Islam entered that they either didn't get thrown out militarily or they took over the civilization. So when I say that and you think I'm an extremist, I'm merely a student of history.
Right.
Anyway, so I realize that we need a strategic weapon that can be offensive, but I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say it's not very likely that America is going to be the first nation that survives that onslaught or that methodology that's been used for, like you said, 1,300 years.
Well, and why would they stop doing something that works? Okay.
That's right. Yes,
indeed. And by the way, from the doctrine of Islam, this comes straight from the doctrine of Islam, immigration is the first step of jihad. Muhammad never became a jihadist until he immigrated to Medina. He left Mecca, his home, and went somewhere else. So I know that some of the things I state may seem like, whoa, this dude crazy. I'm telling you from the doctrine, and I'm telling you from history. So anyway, and like I say, I suddenly realized that I had a subject here which need to be pushed into the face of the church. You'll never move the church by doing radio shows. I've done too many radio shows, and the church is like a rock. It will not be moved by this conversation we're having now. We have
it's
to be
just
pushed.
One of the things.
Go ahead.
It's one of the things that amazes me is that you can hear things such as the stories and the way you're telling it, factual information, and not even just as a single source from you, which would be sufficient, I might say, but with the news coming out of the Middle East and Syria and those countries wherein there is an onslaught, let's call them Arab nations, that people of every stripe who do not bow to the call of Islam or bend their knee to Allah are, tortured or killed, if not both.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you not see that? But
welcome to Bill's world. How do you not see
I
that?
I hear you.
I mean, I challenge people. Show me to be wrong, but do not tell me about your Muslim friend at work who said Islam is nice and Islam is peaceful.
Right.
No, I want you to show me from history or show me from Muhammad or show me from Allah. And so what happens is that people, therefore, do not ever let me be in front of them. That's the way it works. Okay? So if you're running a church and you don't want to know about it, you just don't ever invite me into your church, nor do you invite anyone else in. So
right.
denial is the Kevlar.
Right.
Okay? Oh,
sir.
We do not even admit this man exists. Or if we do, we'll hear, he's a hater. I don't know how many times I've been called a hater. But basically, people don't even want to call me names. What they want me to do is go away and shut up. Well, I'm not going away and I'm not shutting up. But what I need are a lot more agents.
Good for you.
So anyway, I put together a two-part program. And by the way, I'm going to pitch the fact that this Saturday at 11:15, we're going to have a protest rally against the RCC, which is the Religious Communicators Council. The important thing about the Religious Communicators Council is there's 200 to 300 of them, and these are the people who refuse to write about the pain and suffering of Islam. At this Religious Writers Council, they will have 6 speakers out of 20 who are pro-Islam. Not
my
one
goodness.
Speaker will speak about the single death of the most persecuted people on the face of the earth, the Christians. And these people holding this event are primarily Christian. And yet they do not have any room for that.
That's what I don't
want
to
do.
We
want to hold a protest demonstration, and we're going to leaflet their convention. Now,
beautiful. Now, let me just give some information, Bill. Can I get some information for a second here? Okay.
Yeah.
This this protest is going to be a silent protest, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be Saturday, April 5th at 11:15 outside or nearby to the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, which is on Music Valley Drive in Nashville. The exact location is across the street from the entrance to that hotel or that estate, if you will. And the name, do you know the name? What's the name of the, it's the Inn.
The Inn at Opryland.
The Music City Inn. The Inn, okay, right.
The Inn at Opryland.
And it's basically, okay,
let me give you an exact address. It's 2401 Music Valley Drive, Nashville.
Right. So
24,
you put that
we're
in
going to meet
GPS.
In the back.
Okay, yeah. Do you expect there to be any resistance there, any opposition?
No.
Protesting your protest?
No. These people, we're going to raid their meeting. First off, the point is that we have to put feet on the street. We cannot ever defeat a political ideology by passing out emails and going to hear speakers that sit in the crowd with people we like. Okay? It doesn't work that way.
No, yes, indeed. Right.
Because the enemy has the march on us. The problem is not Islam. Islam is not the problem. The problem are the apologists for Islam, like these Religious Writer Council, or the Religious Communicator Council. The problem are the ministers who will not speak of the evil of Islam, who will not recognize the suffering of Christians overseas. And by the way, most people don't know this, but we've already had terror against Christians taken on in this country. Let me give you an example. A family of Coptic Christians was killed because they spoke to a Muslim in New Jersey about Jesus. They were killed. Their heads were cut off. Okay?
Oh,
so people are like, well, it won't ever happen here, man. We eat hamburgers, have french fries, and play baseball. Yeah.
Then, yeah, I know it's happening.
No. It's happening. And the important part is not that it's happening. The most important part is that we will not recognize it. So what I want to do is to start using street demonstrations to protest against people such as the RCC. There are religious bookstores in this town that will not sell a book on the persecuted church. So I've got a two-stage program. The first this is going to seem so simple. It's a brochure, Voices of the Voiceless. And the beauty of this brochure is it's simple. A 14-year-old can understand it. It makes no mention of Islam. It makes no mention of jihad. It makes no mention of Muslim. All it talks about is the persecution of religious minorities. So what I want to start doing is since this brochure is crafted, remember, who we want to persuade are not, we want to persuade people who vote Obama. Okay? That's our biggest.
Right.
So the way we do that is we want to speak to them in the language of the left. They understand that. Our enemies, the near enemy, they don't care much about the Constitution one way or another. It's an aggravation to them. So speaking in terms of patriotism will not work. Will not work. If you tell them Islam's going to destroy our civilization, they go, yay, rah, we need to destroy our civilization so we can build a good one. What I want to do is this whole brochure is about suffering of innocent victims, and it asks the moral question. Silence supports the oppressor. Why are you silent? Will you not speak and give a voice to the victim? Well, the minister who wouldn't let me in to talk about Islam to listen to the suffering of Christians if it starts happening within his own church. For instance, hand out these brochures in your Sunday school class. Okay? We have to start getting people to pay attention to the fact that we are silent in the face of a tragedy. The death of Christians and Buddhists and Hindus, and I left one out. Hindus, and Jews. So we want to start pressing the issue of the suffering and create a moral protest against the silence of the church. Now, the reason this all came to my mind is I have not revealed to you my full past history. I've told more than one group here, you need to take a break, don't you?
Yeah, we're coming up on one in about 30 seconds. So, if you want to speak to that in 30 seconds, we can go there, but we can take a break right now.
You may have already thought, this guy can't say anything in 30 seconds.
No, that's okay. I'm only here to hear you tell your story, and our listeners, you know, here to hear you talk and not me. You have okay. much more compelling information than I do. So why don't we take this? This is going to last another couple of minutes, 2 minutes and 12 seconds if I'm reading my board right, and then we'll come back and talk more. And you can say another 15 minutes worth, and then we'll break again, and then you can do 15 minutes more after that.
How's okay, that sound? We'll do it.
Thank you, sir. We're talking to Bill Warner on Inside Tennessee. He's from the Center for Political Islam and talking about his latest outreach program to keep those or inform those who so far, up till now, have refused to be informed. And we'll be back in 2 minutes with more of Bill Warner.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk 4 sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
We're back with Bill Warner. And, you know, I think actually you may be the only one hearing me. I'm not so sure about that. There's an audience that can listen, but I'm not sure about whether we can take phone calls. So you might just have a whole hour to just talk at length at your discretion to whatever it is that, you know, you have passion for. And obviously this is your passion because I've heard you speak several times. And the information is invaluable. And I can understand why a person, it's like what I've heard John Guandolo say about this information. It's too overwhelming. People can't handle the truth about the whole matter, and they just turn it off because it's too overwhelming and they can't handle it.
Yeah.
We've got to shake them into out of their denial and say, you think you can't handle this and it's just information, what are you going to do when they come to your house or your neighborhood or your town?
What are you going to do when they come to your ballot?
Or your church.
Or your church. But I do understand, you know, it's overwhelming for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody wants to believe that a man of religion is a good man. Even if you think Hinduism's kind of weird, you'd like to believe that it does not produce a person who lies, cheats, and steals, okay? As
right.
a matter of fact, I've known many Hindus, and they don't lie, cheat, or steal any more than Christians lie, cheat, or steal. Now, are there phonies? Are there people who don't live up to their doctrine? Yeah. But you want to believe that a man who has a religion has goodness in him. And yet, what we discover is on the subject of religion, there's only one religion that doesn't have a golden rule, and that is Islam. There's only one religion that has in its sacred text rules for deception and encourages deception, and as a matter of fact, Allah has 99 names. Did you know one of those names is the Deceiver?
Yes, I did know that. I think you might have told me that in a previous discussion or another source or authority on Islam. Yes, the Deceiver.
But I mean, can you imagine Jesus the Deceiver? Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't have the right ring to it at all, does it?
You know, Bill, this is the thing. I think if I could just kind of pose a question or how to help us understand why it is that this is not resonating with the majority or even just enough Americans. I was talking, having this discussion with my wife the other day about how that we value truth. We value, like you said, compassion and justice, mercy, and those things which we esteem very highly. And yet the other side, the practicing Muslims or the Islamists, whatever you want to call them, they value their sacred deception as highly as we value our quest and our love for truth? Would that be a fair statement?
I can say this. I never know what a Muslim will say or do because I don't know to what degree they follow the doctrine of Islam and to what degree they're like, my dad was a Muslim, and I fast. I don't drink a lot of beer, and I fast during Ramadan, kind of, you know. And so, you know, my whole family has been Muslim for 1,000 years, and so, you know, I'd like to think it's kind of good. And so as a result, that man's Islam is more kafir than it is Islam. Remember, kafir is an unbeliever. So to try to learn about Islam from Muslims is like... I don't know if you've ever done this or not. If you go around and ask enough Christians what Christianity is, let me assure you, you will get some strange answers.
Yes, indeed.
So if you want to know what the New Testament, if you want to know what Christianity is, I would suggest you read the New Testament, okay? And so you're going to study Islam, I think you should read Muhammad's biography. So, but people don't want to do that for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, they've been told it's impossible to read, which is no longer true. And the other is they've got a sneaking suspicion that it ain't good. I've said this more than once. If Islam had come ashore in America in the days of my grandmother, it would not have been a problem. They'd have called them what they are straight up. One of the reason I'm called a bigot and a hater is I refuse to be politically correct and multicultural. So they're right. I do despise deceit. I do despise multiculturalism because multiculturalism is a lie. You have to be a PhD in sociology to believe in multiculturalism, but let me tell you something. An illiterate immigrant doesn't believe in multiculturalism. You know why? Watch how they immigrate. Who immigrates to Africa? Nobody.
Right.
Unless they're missionaries. Okay?
Right.
I talked with an African one time. He says, African-Americans, and he said, they're so funny. He says, they're... Africa is on T-shirts. He says, anybody in Africa wants to get out of there. He says, it's riddled with disease, ignorance, and violence. He says, it's not a good place. And he says, it gets worse year by year. He said, politics are corrupt. So what I'm saying here is that I do not remotely think that cultures are equivalent. Some have strengths.
No, not at all.
Some have weaknesses. But to call them all the same is ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, there's a cultural reason why Haiti has never had a Nobel Prize winner.
Right.
It ain't an accident. So there is anyway, my grandmother did not believe in multiculturalism. She didn't believe in it at all. And she also believed in telling you the truth, even if it would hair-lip the devil. And she also realized that we have enemies in this life, not just friends we haven't made yet. So.
Right. Right.
And nowadays, of course, if somebody's listening here who's a sociologist, they're already horrified by my saying that Africa is an inferior culture to America. I'll say it again. Now, this is a broad statement because Africa consists of – but in general, Africa is an inferior culture. Haiti's culture is inferior.
Yeah, and you probably have to explain that to a lot of people, which we probably don't have to do tonight, about what you mean by that statement. I understand if we know our history, if we know where our values and our mores and our traditions come from and why we are who we are, we know what you mean.
They're
built in.
Speech,
they're part of our culture.
Freedom of speech is better than fascism. I'm sorry. Okay?
Right.
Not all cultures are the same. Cultures that are fascist are inferior. Cultures that are communist are inferior. I give you history. Okay? I mean, who wants to immigrate into Russia, into China? No. They all want to come to America. Like I say, if you have a PhD in sociology, you can't figure this out. But if you are an illiterate migrant, you know where you want to go. Because you don't remotely believe that, you know, Zimbabwe is the same as America, culturally equal.
No.
No.
You know, unless
anyway.
You're like Edward Snowden or something, maybe
right.
if you're
well,
trying to run from the NSA
he's
or
grinding
something.
Grinding another axe. But anyway, the point
That's
I'm
right.
making here is in my grandmother's
yes.
day, they were capable of thinking that a man was lying just because he had separate skin, had a different look from us. Now then, of course, in
right.
America, if you're not Southern white male, then you're obviously better. I mean, but anyway, I'm just explaining why today people are so politically correct. People do not want
right.
to offend anybody. Well, I don't mind offending people
right.
if I tell them the truth. If they're offended by the truth, get over it.
Well, the difference
so
is, though, Bill, you're
not,
your intent, your motivation, though, and intent is not to offend anybody.
No.
It's to tell the truth about a particular subject that they need to know about, or
right.
at least you're driven or compelled to inform them about
yeah.
for their own good. So your motivation's good. And
right.
we know that. See, we understand that. But to understand someone whose motivations are entirely, evil is the word I would say.
Anyway, we have a media in this country which says you can criticize America all you want. We'll report that, okay? You can degrade
yes.
and run European culture down. We'll report that. But, boy, you better not run any other culture down because then you're a racist bigot. The reason this is all important and the reason I'm talking about it is that Islam has a protective shield of saying it's a religion, and the other protective shield is that they're not American. Okay, so therefore they must
yeah.
be right. Okay, I know of people who would, if a Muslim said something and I said something, they would say, well, Bill, what does he know? The Muslim must know everything. But anyway, I sort of digress, but
right.
other than that, I'm trying to give a background as to why people do not want to hear my message. Number one, it frightens them to death, and they're
yes.
also frightened of being called a hater and a bigot. So
right.
the reason this all fits into this program is this. I realize that people do not want to deal with Islam, so what I want to do is to make them deal with the suffering caused by Islam.
Okay.
All right, you don't want to hear about Muhammad? I won't tell you about Muhammad. But I insist that you pay attention to 62 dead Nigerian Christians of 3 weeks ago. So that's what I'm going to focus on, is suffering.
How many did you say?
Oh, this was just a news event 3 weeks ago. There were 62 Nigerian Christians killed. Oh, they kill every time I put my newsletter together about dead Christians, there's always some from Nigeria. Always. And so
Bill,
what I want
we're
to
at
do
that
is
time
say,
again. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. We're at that time. I hate taking breaks. I have to interrupt the guest speaker.
No.
We're
job,
on.
Man. Do your job.
We're on the clock, and we got to take another break, another couple of minutes. And let me just inform our listeners: we're talking with Bill Warner. He is the founder of the Center for Political Islam, and he's got a new project called Voices for the Voiceless we want to tell you about. And when we come back, Bill, we're going to ask our, people who want to call in and ask some questions.
Sure.
You can entertain some questions, too, okay, if that's, you know, what they want to do. Because there's nobody waiting on the line right now, but we'll put the invitation out to call Conservative Talk Radio at 718-305-7176, where America always wins. We'll be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
A Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
This is Rob Hathaway, your host for Inside Tennessee, filling in for Dave Vance. We're talking with Bill Warner from the Center for Political Islam, who has a new project, a new endeavor called Voices for the Voiceless. And the idea is to bring the attention of the suffering who have no voice but ours. While we still have our voice, we can proclaim their plight to the people who can do something about it. If you want to get involved, please stay tuned. We'll give the information about the rally they're going to have or the silent protest again, if you haven't heard of it already. And please call in if you have a question for Bill. The number is 718-305-7176. This is Conservative Nation Radio with Bill Warner. And we're going to have another 10-minute or so session with who will give us more information about his project. Bill, we got our bills paid at least in part in that segment, and so
okay. By the way, let me cover something.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When I was talking about there are inferior cultures, let me tell you how important that is. How are we to turn around and correct something if we cannot say that it is wrong? So, if we want to help a country like Haiti, for instance, instead of insisting that they're the victim and all they need is more foreign aid, we can say, look, you know, you're not doing this right. You need to correct it. So that is my purpose in pointing out that there are differences in cultures so that we can talk about what's not working and fix it. And this is what happens in dealing with, in my program with dealing with dead Christians, is that since the people who oppose us are primarily liberal and for them the victim is the key thing, everything is based on the victim, we want to give them the biggest victims of all, the greatest human rights violation on the face of the earth today, which is the murder of religious minorities under Islam. So when I'm talking about in cultures being the, because the modern interpretation of, well, the reason that anything happens is, that's bad, is because we have oppressed them. So taking Haiti again, the reason Haiti is in such a bad condition is we have oppressed them. So what I want to point out here is, gives us the weakness, the chink in the armor of the liberal. We want to point out someone who's more oppressed than anybody. So that is the idea behind this, is that we prevail and change the mind of spineless ministers. Okay? And
right.
By the way, you may want to know that I am bad about criticizing religious leaders. I call them spineless and willfully ignorant. So,
okay, well, just, you know, maybe it's something, you know, they like to tell us what they think we need to hear from them. Now it's time maybe for them to hear what we have to say to them, what we think they need to hear. And so, you know,
and by the way, I'm
please exercise your First Amendment rights.
All I'm saying here is I'm only criticizing 95% of them. There are a few ministers
I've
met who are brave and compassionate. and they care about dead Christians. But I've been at churches in which they've got 6,000 people in the auditorium, and they won't talk about them. They're not going to mention them because it's nickels and noses. That's what counts. And what pains me is that the church has become very small. Okay, it doesn't go beyond a spreadsheet and the four walls. And what I say is that Christians have an obligation to Christians in Nigeria, Christians in Egypt, Christians in Sudan, that there is a – and the reason that we need to do this, how many times we need to politicize this? Let me give you an example. Why are we giving foreign aid to Egypt? I could read you a hair-raising story about a Christian woman who was killed and raped, okay, just this week.
Right.
Why are we giving money to Egypt? Why is it that when a congressman runs, he never has this thrust into his face? Hey, Congressman Cooper, why are we giving money to someone who persecutes Christians? This idea of the persecuted church has powerful political ramifications. Okay? Why is it that the Muslim Brotherhood can visit the White House, but the persecuted Coptic Christians can't visit the White House? I want demands made so that they have access to the president as well.
Right.
So we need to politicize
rightly
this and make it a demand. And let me pitch here, since we're drawn towards the – I'm going to give two pitches. I run a website, politicalislam.com, and that website is important because if you go to it in the lower left corner, there's a Voices for the Voiceless button, and on it you can find all the directions and how to park and where to go to for our protest against the silence of religious writers that's happening at the inns at Opryland. So,
okay. Yeah, this is just one avenue, just one outlet. I just want to thank you for coming on and educating me. I've just sat here and, you know, got an education once more, and I appreciate
that.
So do our listeners. Well,
by the way, I spent 8 years as a college professor.
And that's right. And you're actually a physicist prior to this?
I'm a physicist. Yes, I hold a PhD in quantum physics. I'm actually more intelligent than I sound.
No. Well, I don't know how to say that I've heard and learned more from you than any single person, probably, except for the testimony I've heard from those who have suffered at the hands of Islam personally, like Julie Aftab, who was a remarkable woman.
By the way, she
remarkable
was important.
Story.
I saw Julie in Dallas, Texas. And there was also a black congressman who spoke and said, we've got to go back to civil rights days. And by the way, I was part of civil rights. I used to be a long-haired hippie living in a commune. I am not I do not have impeccable conservative credentials, but I do have, at one time I had impeccable liberal credentials. I used to be a member of the ACLU. But see, now I'm an apostate from the ACLU and the libs.
Yeah, congratulations. yeah, they're coming. I'm sure you're like a David Horowitz, in other words, who's also
actually
an apostate from the liberal left.
Closer than you might think. And no ideology has a worse enemy than an apostate because they know the whole drill. Do you follow me?
You're kind of like an ex-smoker. Is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah. Or it's like I knew a former drug
addict.
They hate
people who smoke.
Right. He said only former drug addicts should be therapists for drug addicts because he said drug addicts BS everybody, but if you're a former one, you know, dude, that ain't walking here, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Put it back.
That's right. Well, we need you, Bill. We need your voice. I don't know how many, how much encouragement you get or how many people are telling you that, you know, you're an absolutely essential voice. And, you know, we know the history of essential voices. In fact, on your pamphlet, which I'm looking at, is a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yes.
Silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
Yes.
God will not hold us guiltless. Yeah. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. So,
see, that's the message I want to bring to the churches and those who are apologists for Islam. If you're going to apologize for Islam, I demand that you listen to its suffering. I demand that. That's the demand I make, is that we must bring the suffering of Islam into the marketplace of ideas, into the churches, into election politics.
Right. There's numerous now. There are other organizations, and what I see happening is more Christian, quote-unquote, organizations getting involved in a pro-Islam, like the Chrislam.
Oh,
or the Christ.
Sorry,
and the
I just had supper. Don't talk too much about that.
All right, I won't. I'll just say that there aren't as many voices or organizations dedicated to educating the American people or its pastors and Christians and believers about what we're witnessing, what you're telling us about, the persecution of minorities, the murder of Christians for simply mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ by name to a Muslim who actually are compelled to kill them. That's their and a way of preserving their honor or killing
a
family member.
Imam in Egypt said, if it were not for the killing of apostates, Islam would have ceased to exist.
No, I mean, what else do you have to know?
Is that not a great quote or what?
It's not funny, and I shouldn't be laughing.
Oh no, it is so bad. It is so bad. It has a certain gallows humor to it. It's like, really?
That's right.
Really?
No. Is there some political correctness in there that I missed? No one's taught them anything about being politically correct. That's the least of their worries, right? But that's our primary concern over here.
It really has
been. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Yes. Well, thank you, and I hope I didn't run too many of the listeners off. Sometimes I can be a heavy dose.
We still got a couple of minutes. I just wanted to get that in before
let me pitch the website
say,
again.
Politicalislam.com.
Go to the lower left corner and hit Voices for the Voiceless. Show up this Saturday and be a force for good against the silence of evil. I mean, it just really is that.
Now, there are links to Voices for the Voiceless.
Yes.
I know I'm looking at a website that I can.
I do, Voices for Voiceless, but it's harder to say because it's Voices, plural, number 4, voiceless, .org. Well, it's just easier to say go to politicalislam.com and click the Voiceless button.
Okay.
Oh, you might buy some
and
books,
we need
too.
No, I'm right. I have your books. From the first time I attended a lecture series that I think you did, I think it was 6 weeks long, at Grassland Baptist Church.
You went to that?
I did. I went to that, and I gave away the CDs, not because I didn't like them, because somebody asked me for them. He came to one or two and couldn't go to the rest.
Right.
And there's several books. I always remember what you said about what Muslims do. And if you want to understand what Muslims do, you have to understand what Muhammad did.
Yes.
Because Muslims do what Muhammad did.
Exactly.
And my parallel would be if I could only do what Jesus did, or if we only did what Jesus did, how much closer relationship we have to our true God than we do now.
This is all
yes,
true.
Yes, sir. So that still holds true today, and it will ring out, hopefully, in the next whatever, how much time we have left. But the hours, I mean, for those suffering Christians, there's no reprieve. There's no break time. There's no we'll get to the weekend and worry about it then or nothing. It's happening now, and the threat is immediate, and it's upon them, and we can't be silent anymore.
No, we cannot. And
Bill,
by the way, I know of Christians overseas who ask the question, how can America be so blind to our suffering? How can they make so many excuses for Muslims who are murdering us?
God will not hold us
unaccountable.
Very real.
Very
real.
And
you know what, Bill? The hour is real, and it's break time, and I'm going to have to let you go.
Well,
I have
enjoyed
myself.
You
know what? Can I hold you over for a minute? Because someone's calling
in.
And by George, if we're going to get – now, let me just see if I can bring them into the conversation, see if they have a question for you. Hello, caller? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This Jason Bohr.
Oh, hi. This is my next guest. Well, then that's good. What timing? I trust you've been listening to the radio show. So you didn't call in to ask Bill a question. You just calling in because you're the next guest. How about that?
I'm calling in because I'm the next guest. Yeah, so I've been out knocking on doors, so I kind of caught the last end of it, but I kind of agree with what he's saying.
Well, why don't we turn the show over to someone who can speak better than I can? Because I'm.
I think he was doing pretty good.
Don't sell yourself short, Bill. It's a very good message, and you articulated it more powerfully and with more, I can't think of the word. That always happens when I'm trying to do a radio show. You know, you can't think of the word, but with more, and it's not enthusiasm. It's not compulsion. You're passionate, and it's essential, and it's just the message that has to be heard. So thank you once again, Bill, and I hope you'll come back to the show again.
All right.
And talk more. Have a good rest of the evening.
I'm a talking kind of guy.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Rob.
Yes, indeed.
Bye-bye.
Have a great
night,
Bill.
Now. Okay, Jason, so tell me your name again. Jason Bourne, right?
Jason Bourne, that's correct.
B-O-U-R?
B-O-U-R.
Because I don't want my listeners to get confused with the Jason Bourne who's on the Bourne Identity. That wouldn't be you, I don't assume, right?
No, it's not me, but I get it all the time.
I'm going to put you on hold for a couple minutes because we actually went past our break. I got to run a two-minute break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about your campaign and what you're doing out there in the borough, okay?
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
I'll be back shortly. Please stand by. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. This is Rob Hathaway, your guest sitting in for Dave Vance. The number here is 718-305-7176. The guest that's coming up in just a couple of minutes, who's on the phone now, is Jason Bourne. He is going to tell us about what he's doing over in his district. He's running for office, I think county commission. But we'll get more of that from him. And if you have a call, you want to ask him a question, if you're in the borough listening and you want to express a concern, then please do call in. The number is 718-305-7176. Come back to Inside Tennessee in just a few minutes.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Deadline day for healthcare.gov got off to a rocky start, with the website being taken offline this morning due to a technical glitch. But the White House said that by midday, the problem had been resolved. Spokesman Jay Carney said that the website had been inundated by Americans who were hoping to sign up for health coverage before open enrollment ends tonight at midnight. The Obama administration announced last week that 6 million Americans had enrolled in coverage. Their original goal was to sign up 7 million from the day the website went live on October 1st until now. The latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change shows that climate change has already begun to weaken crop yields, shift animal migration patterns, and reduce the quality and quantity of global water resources. In response to the report, Secretary of State John Kerry argued that people can no longer deny the reality of climate change. Kerry urged world leaders to act quickly, but added that no single country causes climate change, and therefore no one country can stop it. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living
time. Okay, we're back live with Inside Tennessee. I'm Rob Hathaway, standing in for Dave Vance, who's out for the night. The number here is 718-305-7176. We're on the phone in just a moment with Jason Bourne. He's going to tell us about his campaign, where he lives, and what he has been up to lately, and what his goals are, and his vision for his district. So, Jason.
Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. I was enjoying listening to that song.
That was the Clint Black song?
Yeah, the Clint Black song. We need to continue on with that. That's a lot better than what I had to say. Hey,
well,
I'll do it tonight.
I'm sure you... He's made his, you know, career. He's been a star. Now it's your turn. So we want to hear from you. Tell us about what you're doing, where you are and where you're from and what you're doing, what you're up to.
Well, currently I'm running for Rutherford County Commissioner in District 9. That's roughly, to put it, it's on the Almaville side of 24, goes from Burnt Knob up to Rock Springs Road, mostly county.
Okay. And you've been out knocking doors all day, I guess you've said.
Well, actually, I've been working all day, and then after I got off work, I, you know, hit the neighborhoods. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to get out there, and you have to work for the vote. You can't just expect voters to give it to you and not know who you are. You got to get out there
former
and
campaigner.
Put the shoe leather on the pavement.
I can attest to that as a former campaigner myself. I wish you more success than I had, but that door knocking is the key to success, and I really enjoyed my time pounding the pavement. I wish that I had the weather you had today on more than one occasion. So
yeah.
What are some of your vision for your district, and what is it you're aiming to do that's caused you to enter the race for county commissioner?
Well, one of the things that caused me to enter the race is I got tired of being an armchair quarterback and complaining about what's going on. For instance, we just had a recent property tax hike here in the county. I feel that could have been different ways to do that without raising property taxes. We need to look at where can we cut spending. And when I mention cutting spending, I just want to say that I'm not talking about cutting jobs or cutting services. To me, that's not effective cutting spending. That hurts either the taxpayers or the people serving the taxpayers. We need to look for waste. We need to look for, services that are duplicated. We need to look how can we trim the fat. And even the smallest thing, you'll be surprised. There's just an article that was out in the news last week about a high school student from another state. He found that if you change the font that you're using on printed material, you could save a lot of money. And he ended up saving his school district $21,000 in one year, just changing the font that was using. So we cannot be afraid to roll up our sleeves and look and say, where can we cut costs? Where can we cut spending? We have some of our county letters, for instance, are in two ink. It's red and black. And believe me, I never opened up a county letter for business tax and say, man, I'm really impressed that this is two color. You know, we need to look for small things like that in order to cut wasteful spending. I'm a taxpayer, taxes, and it just really burns my tail that my wallet is looked at as available funds for reckless spending.
No, right. And it's an addiction. I think I've heard that kind of spending. At least when they talk about Washington, they say that's an addiction to spending they seem to have. And so it's probably not any surprise to anyone that that has a tendency to trickle down into state governments all the way to the county level, right? Did you agree with
Washington's
that?
Washington's really bad. I managed a school called the Bradley Fighting Vehicle Technician Training when I was in the Army National Guard. I had a $150,000 budget. One of the things I got in trouble for was I got in there, I started saving money. Towards the end of the fiscal year, I get a phone call asking me how come I still have money. I think I saved taxpayers about $5,000. And I was told, spend it, get rid of it, or they're going to slash your budget so bad next year, you'll be begging for money within halfway through the year.
You know, there's a lot of things. As an Army veteran myself, there's a lot of things you hear that seemingly don't make sense, but the one that caught my ear was, if you don't spend it, you lose it. So they're at the end of the fiscal year, they're trying to go find stuff you can spend money on just so you don't lose the money in the next year's budget. How about that? So you're facing
exactly
that same issue where you are.
And that's not the mentality that we need to be encouraging. We need to encourage department heads to look for these cost savings, look for these small things, look for different vendors. For instance, I had to order my office supply from GSA, and being a veteran yourself, I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with GSA, but that's the military version of Staples. And I was paying three and four times higher using this GSA service than I could have spent going to Staples. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This is taxpayers' dollars that we're spending, but we're spending like, you know, it's unlimited supply. And that was before the
right.
Obama administration. Things got worse in this administration. But we need to get rid of that mentality. We need to encourage our department heads to save money, and instead of threatening them with cutting their budgets, we need to reward them for saving taxpayers' dollars. You know, we need to encourage them and give them incentive. Go ahead.
Is there an incumbent you're running against?
Actually, the person that currently holds this seat has vacated the seat to run for a different office. So,
is it like a stepping stone to a higher office?
It could be. It could be. I've already had couple of people say that I should consider it somewhere down the line, but you know, right now I got
for the person who left the seat. Is there a higher? Do you have aspirations for higher office? Is that why he left the seat, or do you know that?
Actually, he's going for a bigger office, Register of Deeds. That's a full time office.
So, do you have any competition for the seat, or is it? I mean, how many are in your race? Can you tell us?
I do have one person running against me in the Republican primaries. In the general, I'm unopposed. So once I get through the primaries, then I can concentrate on just letting voters know who I am.
So you're a Republican, I assume.
Oh, but of course. But of course, can't have it any other way.
That's a silly question, but
what's my other choice?
No, that's right. I mean, if you're... You're right. You wouldn't be talking about limiting or lowering spending if you weren't a Republican, probably, right?
Exactly. And I really laughed one night when I was listening to Pelosi. She was getting all mad about the Republicans talking about cutting spending. And she says, I'm here to tell you that spending has nothing to do with this debt. And I'm like, what school did you go to?
Right,
has everything
right.
to do with debt.
Well, that's probably a Harvard Economics PhD.
Exactly. I'm like, how can she say that? She has no idea what she's talking about. But that's the mentality with the liberals, is spending has nothing to do with the debt. And they feel like that it's you could print the money, and it's an unlimited resource. You know, China doesn't mind running up our tab. But there's going to be one day that they're going to call in their loan, and, you know, we're going to be under their rule.
Yeah, that's one of the principles of liberty that I think Benjamin Franklin warned us about, that, or even Solomon, if you're reading the Bible and the Proverbs, that the borrower becomes slave to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not there already, we're certainly heading that direction fast. So here's what I got to do, Jason. I got to take a break, be a couple minutes long, and then we'll come back and talk for another 10, 15 minutes probably, and you can tell us more about what's on your plate out there in Rutherford County, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, beautiful. Just hold for a couple minutes for me. Be right back. You can hear some good.
All right.
You can even evaluate the music while you're on hold, okay? We're going to play some more music.
All right.
Okay.
So put
your right
flip whack on.
Okay. This is Rob Hathaway again in for Dave Vance on Inside Tennessee. Our number here, if you want to call and talk to Jason Bohr, who's a county commission candidate in Murfreesboro or Rutherford County, the number is 718-305-7176. We're on Conservative Nation Radio, and we're going to take a break and come right back with more conversation with Jason Bohr.
Thank you. Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism Radio Show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Hello, folks. This is Rob Hathaway on Inside Tennessee. I'm your guest host for Dave Vance. Our number here is 718-305-7176. We're talking to Jason Bohr from Rutherford County, District 9. He's a candidate for county commission. If you have a question, you want to talk to him about something, express your concern, or just let him know if there's an issue that you'd like to raise and make him aware of for that district if you happen to be there, please give us a call. It's 718-305-7176, and let's get we'll get back to Jason and see what he thinks about our music.
Hey, I love it. I was dancing the jig to that one.
Well, you got some energy if you've been out door knocking after a hard day's work and you can still have time to do a little soft shoe in there. So,
I haven't sat down yet. Once I sit down, I'm not getting back up.
We're going to talk for another got to take another break at 8:30, so we've got 10 minutes just thereabouts. So tell us some of the concerns the people you talk to express to you when you greet them at their door or when they come and greet you.
Well, one of the biggest concerns that voters have around here, especially out in the county, is annexation. Currently, Tennessee practices annexation by ordinance. And they've almost annexed me before, actually, and I was pretty much told there's nothing I could do about it. Luckily, they withdrew it because their plans shifted, I guess. But currently, I've been working to push a bill and make people aware of a bill that currently has passed the Senate and is now in the House and will be voted on Wednesday to end forced annexation. And that has been very popular with a lot of the voters I talked to, even the ones that has been annexed. I was talking to one gentleman last weekend. He said he's on his way home from work, going down his road, and he sees a sign, "Welcome to Smyrna." And he's like, "What?" You know, he was annexed just that easy. And the only services that he gets for his taxpayer increased tax dollars is fire and police services, which he already had that. We have a great Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, and the Almaviva Volunteer Fire Department is one of the better volunteer fire departments in the nation. Matter of fact, I don't know too many volunteer fire departments that staffs the station 24/7 with volunteers. So pretty much he only got what he already have. Now he just has increased tax expense. He had no say.
So,
under the bill that's currently going to be voted on in the House on Wednesday, this will allow voters to be able to vote on annexation, which I'm all for property rights because I feel that, you know, you choose where you want to live. You want to live out in the county, you know, why
right.
would somebody think that you want to live in the city just because they want to increase their per capita of the city or they want to work on a new project? For instance, not even a mile from my house, since we've lived here, it was farmland, and now there's a big distribution center and several street lights just to get to my house now. You know, that wasn't there. And we have Smyrna growing right on top of us. With this bill, if they try to annex us again, we will be able to at least have a say in it. It doesn't stop annexation. It just gives us, you know, a voice. It gives us the power to vote on it, and Smyrna will have to actually campaign.
Okay, so that's good. You explained that well. Now at the county commission level, what can you do about annexation where you sit or the seat you might wind up sitting in one day?
Well, once this bill gets passed, one of the roles of the county commission is if the city does have to expand due to, you know, financial hardship, like, for instance, part of one of the exceptions in the bill is if annexation was initiated before April of last year, once this bill goes through, if it poses a financial hardship or difficulty to the city, they could petition to still go ahead with the annexation under the old ways, and the county commissioner will then have to, the county commission will be able to look at it and actually vote on it to either go ahead the way it was or have it sent to referendum. But right now, my role as a candidate, or even if I become a county commissioner, is to fight for property rights because this is a state level thing. This bill has to go through on state level. If the bill doesn't go through, then I will look at other ways to help protect property owners' rights. Personally, I don't see why it wouldn't go through.
No, it looks pretty good.
At
the state level, but it takes some doing. These legislators don't always go along. Some of them now, not all of them, with limited property. You know, those limited government and, you know, an absolute right to property, and at least definitely a voice in whether or not. I mean, if you're about to be taken over and charged, you know, excessive or additional property taxes or city taxes, you ought to have a say in that. That is being governed without being represented.
That is exactly right. That's the perfect definition of taxation without representation. And like I said, I don't see, you know, it kind of is amazing how a politician will go out, knock on doors, and say, your vote's important, your vote's important, your vote's important, to get him in that office. But when it comes to your property rights, I cannot understand how any politician say, oh, now your vote's not important. You know, and to me, to me, that's more important than who I vote for. You know, I want to be able to, you know, vote for my property rights. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to ask you, how do you feel about your campaign right now? You know, you've got a little more than a month to go before the vote. Is it May 6th, the voting date for county commission, correct?
May 6th is, but early voting starts April 15th. And pretty much there's a lot of talk that if you win in early voting, you pretty much won the election. It's coming up soon. It is.
So early voting is for 2 weeks. It's for 2 weeks, right? The 15th? It starts
exactly.
15th, and it goes to the 29th, obviously.
Right.
So how do you feel? I mean, where do you think you stand right now?
I feel very strong. I've been out there knocking on doors. I've gotten great responses, great feedback. I've actually gone. I'm a small business owner, so I very much care about small business. And not too long ago, I walked into a small business and automatically was recognized. So the word's actually getting around. I've actually had people come up to me, and when I introduce myself to them, They already know who I am. So I'm doing something right. I'm definitely doing something right. If I tell somebody,
mm-hmm.
You know, who my competition is, the first response I get is, who's that? You know, and that's the thing. Like I said, if you're not willing to work hard to get into an office and pound that beat,
right.
go shake hands, go meet the voters, then how do I know how hard you're going to work in that office? And that's something to really
look
at.
Yeah, you got to want it, don't you?
Yeah, I see a lot of politicians that get to the point where they just want to be able to walk into the office, you know, and just run on their name. For instance, Lamar Alexander, you know, I don't know how hard he actually does work to get in to keep his seat because everybody votes on his name. I see his commercials. But Joe Carr, he's out there. He's pounding the beat. He's working hard for it. And, you know, I feel very good about him because he's serious about going to D.C. and making some changes. He's willing to go to D.C. and fight for us. And that's one thing
that
we need to
support as well.
Yeah, we need to support him because we need to support candidates that's going to work in our best interest and fight for what's important to us. And that's exactly how I am. That's exactly how I believe. I'm here to represent the people, not myself. There may be some things that I'm going to have to vote a certain way that I don't personally agree with, but I have to look at what's best for the people. What does the people want? How does it fit in to the overall picture? And
so,
you know, it
let me ask you this question. We got a couple minutes left, so
okay.
I got to take a break and then let you go. What's something that you want the voters to know about who you are and yourself? You're a small business owner. Tell us a little bit more.
I'm a small business owner, but more importantly, I'm a resident. I am a neighbor. I'm a friend. You know, and it really, I don't understand how some of these people could vote the way that they vote and not remember that they're a member of the community. And that's something I feel very strongly about. When I get in there, I'm there to represent my voters, not just my voters, but voters of Rutherford County. Because whatever I do, even though it's in my district, what my vote affects the entire county. So I want people to know that I'm there for them. I'm not there for me.
Okay.
I could be right now sitting on my couch watching TV and with my feet kicked up. I'm there for them.
You want to tell us what kind of business you own or what kind of business you run?
Yes. I'm the director of New Beginnings Coaching, which specializes in ADHD coaching as well as health and wellness.
Okay.
I've actually got a pretty good name in ADHD coaching and just was invited by the state of Tennessee last February to speak at their state conference. So I'm very happy with that, seeing that the schools are getting more and more involved, trying to get the right information for our students with learning disabilities. And that's very important. I very much advocate for those with mental disorders and learning disabilities.
Well, then, if we, you know, that speaks volumes about you and how you care for those who are challenged with different, challenges, let's just put it that way. And
exactly.
Certainly you work with the children and the parents, I assume, right? Just the children?
Yes.
Or?
Okay. Well, the kids, adolescents, college students, adults, parents, you know, I work with all different age levels. And, of course,
okay,
I believe
let me ask you
family.
One more.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but we've got to go. I just want to give you a chance. We're break time. Our time's up. It goes by awfully quick. It's been great talking to you. Do you have a website or a place where people can go to investigate, you know, your campaign and your candidacy further, or is this it?
Yes, my website is voteboor.com. That's vote, VOUR.com.
Very nice. And I'll say that one more time, voteboor. BOUR.com. And Jason Boer has been our guest, and I want to thank you for joining us, Jason. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And if you want to, you know, stay on the line, I won't cut you off. I'm going to play some more music for your entertainment pleasure if you'd care to listen. So please feel free, okay?
All right. Well, you have a great night.
Thank you, and best of luck to you in your campaign. Much success
thank
to you.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
This is Rob Hathaway on Inside Tennessee. I'm in for Dave Vance. He's got the night off, and we're just finishing our call with Jason Bohr, who's running for a county commission seat in District 9, Rutherford County. Go to his website, votebohr.com, and investigate further and encourage him. And people who get in races, it's a hard job. It's a tough row to hoe, as they would say, and they deserve some encouragement and some accolades for just getting into the arena. And so thank you, Jason. We're going to take another break. We'll come back in a minute and a half, 2 minutes. We're going to talk to Luann Zelnick, who's also a resident of the borough, as they say, here in Middle Tennessee.
I'm going to live and die in Cowboy Town.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. Our number here is 718-305-7176. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking to Luann Zelnick, who's going to tell us about the latest battle of the borough, or the phase that this battle is in. But before she joins us, I want to remind everyone that there's some very important legislation that's going to be voted on and heard in committee this week at our state capitol in Legislative Plaza in Nashville. This vote is a full House Education Committee vote. It's for House Bill 2290-2290, LEA, which is Local Education Authorities, to be fully reimbursed for additional costs of the Park and Common Core. Park is the testing portion. Common Core, you've heard so much about. It's been a real battle, and we've had some real warriors in the arena fighting for what is absolutely a must win for our side. When I say our side, you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio. We don't want these force-fed standards and force-fed teaching materials, some of which are obscene, quite frankly, and would qualify as being labeled pornographic on our children. And not just that, but there's math that is foreign, and I mean that in like a Martian type of math. I've never seen it before in the process and the method. It's not the answer you get, it's the process. Anyway, let me not digress. There's a vote, and I want to, it's Monday through Friday. What you need to do is call and email Speaker Hartwell, Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey. We the people want Common Core repealed and withdrawal from PARC. So anyone who lives in Speaker Hartwell's district will actively engage in getting, well, we want to vote her out in November, but let's just get this bill, attend and show up, and numbers are going to be what determine this, okay? So vote yes. We want our committee members voting yes for House Bill 2290. We also want to vote no for House Bill 1693. Now, I'm just telling you, this is the position that the Tennessee Against Common Core League or association that's taken positions on, and this is how they're asking you to vote on these bills. So by doing this, you also – so House Bill 1693 is for profit charters, and vote no for House Bill 1959, which is the parent trigger. This bill only expands the implementation of charters. Both of these bills are being pushed by Students First,
and also by their favorite legislator, Representative John DeBerry. We don't want charter schools. It leads down the road to the privatization of education, which are in the business of just doing education for a profit, is what I'm being told. Okay, so call and email your senator and any other senators that you wish to call or email in the Senate. Vote yes for Senate Bill 1266, that's 1266. There are two amendments added to delay PARC 2 years or delay further Common Core implementation. Vote no for Senate Bill 1835. A no vote on this bill and companion bill, House Bill 1549, by Representative Bill Dunn, is critical. That is the bill that's going to prevent personal data collection from school children at the behest of the government. In other words, they're going to send home things with school children to give to the parents to give information for the children to go back to the school to give to the government for a database of information on, oh, how many people in your house? One of the questions I saw was, are there any guns in your house? Have you ever been mistreated or felt abused? There's questions that are none of their business, and it has nothing to do with the learning process. So if you want to get involved in really protecting your own privacy, not to mention the trauma of using your elementary school-age child, for as a courier who is subject to pressure from teachers who actually, through no fault of their own, are being required to foist this burden upon those children. Children go to school to learn. They don't go to take things home to their parents and answer questions and be put and feel pressured on to answer questions about how they might feel on any given day about being a member of that household. So, again, I'm digressing. We want to vote no for Senate Bill 1835, a no vote on this bill, and companion House Bill 1549. I just read that. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. And here's the other thing you can do. You can attend the House Education hearing on Tuesday, April 1st, 2014, that's tomorrow, 12 p.m., noon, in room 16. Faces in the audience are important. And I'll leave you with this quote: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. That's by George Orwell. And I wanted to mention that to Bill Warner, who is, if nothing else, speaking the truth about at whose hands the persecuted minorities, one of which the most persecuted, he's speaking the truth about that. There's another quote: if you're taking flack, you must be over the target, et cetera. You've heard them all before, or most of them. So anyway, for more information on these bills, you can go to www.tnacc.net or americadontforget.com. That's on the education side of the house right here in Tennessee. And that's it, folks. The vote's tomorrow, and the legislative assembly will adjourn. It will be out of session. And, you know, there'll be lobbying, and there'll be connections that may leave we the people out of the conversation about how we're going to get Common Core implemented. Well, we can be a force for good when we join a community or an organization like Tennessee Against Common Core or the other website I told you about. And we can be a force for good when we show up and see our legislators and face them as they are about to vote so we'll know how they voted. It's up to us to be engaged. So I highly recommend you do that. I don't have a caller on the line. Luann hasn't called, and I'm not certainly going to, berate her. Just something must have come up or couldn't get online or on board for some reason. So we missed a treat by not having Luann as a guest to tell us about what the goings on are there out in her neck of the woods in Murfreesboro. I will mention one of the things that we need to be mindful of right up until November is the ballot issue number one. Vote yes on ballot issue number one. That is one of the reasons that this radio program exists. It's part of the Tennessee Action Council. The Tennessee Action Council primarily brings attention to the voices, to the people, the voices of the voiceless, very much like the people that Bill Warner talks about, except these young babies in their mother's womb have no other voice. We must defend the right to life. Without the right to life, I would assert none of the other rights really matter. This November, when you go to the polls to do your duty as a citizen of this great state and vote for your governor and your legislatures and your school boards and your county commissions, yes, on ballot issue number one. Let me give a little background to that. What it's intending to do is make a constitutional amendment that declares the Tennessee state constitution does not inherently grant a woman the right to an abortion, as has been asserted by the Tennessee Supreme Court. And it's not in the Tennessee Constitution. I've read it. Now, let's just say what direction we're heading in. Giving a person a right, like the right you have in the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, and the other 17, first 10 being the most important, one of those includes the right to abort an unborn child. That cannot be, it's not written in the Tennessee Constitution. That must be amended so that any laws we pass cannot be declared unconstitutional on the grounds that the Constitution does say a woman has a right to an abortion. This is what you call a hot button issue. You heard Bill Warner talk about being politically incorrect. There's nothing correct about taking a life of an unborn child. It's not a political issue. It is a civilizational issue. It is very much part of our foundation as a society that we protect those who cannot protect themselves. And we cannot be silent on the issue. I, for one, I will not be. And I hope many of you will take a voice and take a stand and say, we can't just say we have that right, because it doesn't exist as a right. Because you have to believe, as I do, and many of, I think, conservative Nation Radio listeners will agree, that our rights come from God. They're not rights that are granted under our Constitution. They're rights that are protected by the Constitution. And the government is the instrument through which those rights are secured. States and the Declaration of Independence. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted. So whenever any form of government, and I'm going to paraphrase, does not secure these rights or does not secure the means and methods by which these rights allow us to be free and pursue happiness, then it's our duty to alter or abolish it. Now, that isn't done very lightly, but here's the method we're going to use. It's going to be a ballot issue. It's going to be a vote by we the people who can declare and say, with authority that we have determined, there is no such thing, in Tennessee at least anyway, in our Constitution that says what the court purports that it says. So that's another battle that's being waged in our culture. And believe me, there's opposition to it. I also want to say this. There is a Defend the Constitution rally. Speaking of the Constitution, it should come as no surprise that our Constitution, the basis of our nation, and the central core of our values is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. You know, that 400-year-old document that I think it was Sheila Jackson Lee said we have. Well, it's actually 237 years old for those students of history who can do some math. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, be advised that a lot of real Americans, like you and me, are going to come together and at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville, on the weekend of April 26th. Guest speakers include Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr, to name just a few. There promised to be great music, great food, and great times. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event. And I do hope to see you there. That'll be in a few short weeks away. So we've had quite a show tonight as far as I'm concerned, with Bill Warner telling us about his Voices for the Voiceless program. They're going to be, I'm going to run that by you one more time. And his program involves a rally April 3rd through 5th. But what he's asking volunteers to do is to stand protest with him, and you're standing silently. So I'm going to give you the website information so you can find out what to bring, what's appropriate. I'm sure there'll be signs, or nearly as sure as I can be, that there are signs and that you'd make that are appropriate, that you won't be speaking so people can still read. And there is a Religious Communications Council that's having a conference or a convention at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville. The protest is going to be held rain or shine. There will be information about how to park, signage, as I mentioned earlier. You can go to the website at Voices, it's plural Voices, the number 4, followed by the word voiceless.org. So we'll read voicesforvoiceless.org, but there's no word for, it's the number 4. There is not one Religious Communications Council speaker who will deal with the persecution of Christians. They support the oppressors and deny the victims, and they are called apologists. Now, just think of those who are doing the oppressing. Think of the murders you heard about, Bill Warren talk about in New Jersey, about a family who was murdered for simply approaching a Muslim man with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, tried to reach out to him, and the entire family paid the price. There were 62 Nigerians killed a couple weeks ago at the hands of their oppressors. Who's talking about that? And Bill Warner asserts that there's not a single person or speaker who'll be speaking about that in Nashville. This is the Bible Belt, of course, as you well know, or the belt buckle of the Bible Belt in Tennessee, and this is where they're bringing the message. And they, why not? If you're going to be silent and let us say whatever we want to say, talk about what we want to say, well, by George, we're going to do it. So join Bill April 5th, 2014 at 11:15. And the address is 2401 Music Valley Drive in Nashville. That's 37214 for the GPSers or the Google Maps or however you want to get there. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I went over. And so I'm going to put myself on mute and play some infomercials for you, followed by some music, and we'll be back talking in a few minutes.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every 5, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Sunlight, roaring engines,
Okay, well, the music's over and we're back. Here we are on Inside Tennessee. I'm your guest host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance. Just took a little break, had a little chance to wet the old whistle there. our guests were Bill Warner and Jason Boer, candidates. Well, Bill Warner is the, probably safe to call him the president and founder of Center for Political Islam.org, if you want to learn about that more there. And Jason Boer is a candidate for County Commission in District 9 in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, I should say. There are other candidates. In fact, tonight there's a candidate forum going on here in Franklin for the candidates that are running for office in Williamson County. And it's the Franklin Clapham group that's sponsoring the candidate forum. The house is empty. Everyone's there. It's very refreshing to see the number of candidates who are running for office who have decided that we, the people who have a voice that is being ignored, can remain unheard no longer. So if you don't like the way things are operating at your county level or your local school board level or at the state level, short of finding another candidate to go out and do the work that needs to be done, take the voice of his constituents and those voices of those who must be heard. And to be heard, you have to speak. So if you're not getting represented, maybe if it's because you're not making your voice heard, then get out there and make your voice heard. Let your candidates know what it is that you want more of or less of. If you want less government, as the case of Jason Boer is, so that your property doesn't get annexed. In other words, if you're in the county, you want to stay in the county, but the city says, well, we need more revenue because we just don't have enough. There's never enough money, right? We're just going to absorb some of that property into our little municipality here, or city, and charge them a property tax. And you haven't been consulted about that. That has to come to an end. It's probably a stretch to say it's taxation without representation, but I would say that if a city or a municipality decides to take over your piece of property, extend their borders over the county line, and say you're now part of the municipality, here's your bill, I would say that's without representation if you're not consulted. If your school board is not examining the textbooks, or if they simply tell you, all our job is to take recommendations from the State Textbook Commission on what they recommend, and you find they don't know what's in the textbook. All they're looking for are standards that have to align with the SAT and the ACTs that the universities and colleges develop to increase their admission rates. Then where's the concern for what your children are being educated on? They just want to make admission rates go higher. So the county or the school board or the superintendent, whoever it may be, can say, look how we measure success. Not by what our kids learn, but how many of them get accepted into colleges and universities where they're going to undergo some other kind of indoctrination. And that sounds like a rant and a ramble, but that's what happens there. So we have to get back to the basics. And the basic thought was, we the people, get involved in your government. Like Plato once said, either be involved in politics or be ruled by your inferiors. This is the greatest design for a country that's ever been regarded, ever been developed and lived under and worked through over how we'll be governed, our Constitution. It has a mechanism for amending if we need to add more provisions. The genius of the Founding Fathers is they knew, as they wrote in the Declaration, for ourselves and our posterity, that future generations would need to probably expand the document and expand the scope of government to face future issues. And they left mechanisms with that. One of them is the amendment process. And that requires citizen engagement. If you want the kind of government that you want governing you by your consent
or they rule over you without your consent. So anyway, I can't go into all the quotes by Jefferson and Washington and Adams, the ones that are the most familiar, James Madison. They left us a means by which we can either change our government if it doesn't work the way that best enables us to exercise our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to name a few, in a manner that we see fit. But our government representatives can't do that without you bringing things that are important to you to their attention. So I would just ask that you get involved in the process. Support a candidate. Call and talk to your legislator. Sit down with them. Have coffee. Make an appointment. Go visit them. But get educated. And I know our listeners are those who listen to this radio program, listen to Dave and his excellent guests talk about the goings-on inside our halls of governing up in the state capitol, the legislature. So important votes coming up this week. I talked about regarding Common Core. Voting is important for all the candidates who've now pledged to make a difference. Instead of the same old, here's what you've got, here are your options, here are your choices, take it or leave it, sort of two flavors, chocolate or vanilla. Well, no, we want more, Baskin-Robbins has probably two flavors if they haven't gotten more than that. Why can't we have more of those choices for ourselves, for our children, this generation? We need to leave something like our founders did to our posterity. And one of the principles that I was taught early when I was in the military, especially as I served, was, and you can see this because we go into a place and there's a lot of talk about how we bomb and kill and maim and injure and destroy. Look what happens on the other side. We rebuild nations that we go into out of necessity. We make things happen where we go for the good of those who are there. Now, certainly, there are casualties, and there are, they call it the name for it's collateral damage. It's unavoidable. But we have to focus on the greater good. There are people with opportunities in Afghanistan that didn't have them 10 years ago. There are women in schools who are getting an education. Listen, the suffering happens, I admit. And almost as if it's part and parcel of it. You have to go through the pain of creating a better life, and that sometimes involves war. And we have a little time left. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Rob Hathaway, and for Dave Vance on Inside Tennessee, it's part of the Tennessee Action Council. Please go to TennesseeTN4ACT.com, TennesseeForAction.com. Thank you for listening. We've come to the end of the show. Good night, everyone.